Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 6. Explanation of the words of Christ, "No man knows the Father but the Son," etc. Which words the heretics misinterpret. Proof that, by the Father revealing the Son, and by the Son being revealed, the Father was never unknown. For the Lord, revealing himself to his disciples, that he himself is the Word, who imparts knowledge of the Father, and reproving the Jews, who imagined that they had the knowledge of God, while they nevertheless rejected his Word, through whom God is made known, declared, "No man knows the Son but the Father, neither does any man know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son has willed to reveal him." Thus has Matthew set it down, and Luke in like manner, and Mark the very same, for John omits this passage. They, however, who would be wiser than the apostles, write the verse in the following manner: "No man knew the Father but the Son, nor the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Son has willed to reveal him." And they explain it as if the true God were known to none prior to our Lord's advent, and that God who was announced by the prophets, they allege not to be the Father of Christ. But if Christ did then begin to have existence when he came into the world as man, and the Father did remember only in the times of Tiberius Caesar to provide for men, and his word was shown to have not always coexisted with his creatures, neither then was it necessary that another God should be proclaimed, but that the reasons for so great carelessness and neglect on God's part should be made the subject of investigation. For it is fitting that no such question should arise and gather such strength, that it would indeed both change God and destroy our faith in that Creator who supports us by means of his creation. For as we do direct our faith toward the Son, so also should we possess a firm and immovable love towards the Father. In his book Against Marcion, Justin does well say, "I would not have believed the Lord himself if he had announced any other than he who is our framer, maker, and nourisher. But because the only begotten Son came to us from the one God who both made this world and formed us, and contains and administers all things, summing up his own handiwork in himself, my faith towards him is steadfast, and my love to the Father immovable, God bestowing both upon us. For no one can know the Father unless through the Word of God, that is, unless by the Son revealing him. Neither can anyone have knowledge of the Son unless through the good pleasure of the Father. But the Son performs the good pleasure of the Father, for the Father sends, and the Son is sent, and comes. And his Word knows that his Father is, as far as regards us, invisible and infinite. And since God cannot be declared by anyone else, he does himself declare him to us. And on the other hand, it is the Father alone who knows his own Word. And both these truths has our Lord declared. Wherefore the Son reveals the knowledge of the Father through his own manifestation. For the manifestation of the Son, the Epiphany, is the knowledge of the Father, for all things are manifested through the Word. In order, therefore, that we might know that the Son who came is he who imparts to those believing in him a knowledge of the Father, he said to his disciples, "No man knows the Son but the Father, nor the Father but the Son, and those to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him," thus setting himself forth, and the Father, as he really is, that we may not receive any other Father except him who is revealed by the Son. But this Father is the maker of heaven and earth, as is shown from his words, and not he, the false father who has been invented by Marcion, or Valentinus, or Basilides, or Carpocrates, or Simon, or the rest of the Gnostics, falsely so called. For none of these was the Son of God, but Christ Jesus our Lord, against whom they set their teaching in opposition, and have the daring to preach an unknown God. But they ought to hear this against themselves. How is it that God is unknown, who is known by them? For whatever is known even by a few is not unknown. But the Lord did not say that both the Father and the Son could not be known at all. For in that case, his coming would have been superfluous. For why did he come hither? Was it that he should say to us, "Never mind seeking after God, for he is unknown, and you won't find him"? As also the disciples of Valentinus falsely declare that Christ said to their eons. But this is indeed vain, empty. For the Lord taught us that no man is capable of knowing God unless he be taught by God. That is, that God cannot be known without God, but that this is the express will of the Father, that God should be known. For they shall know him, to whomsoever the Son has revealed him. And for this purpose did the Father reveal the Son, that through the Son's instrumentality he might be manifested to all, and might receive those righteous ones who believe in him into incorruption and everlasting enjoyment. Now, to believe in him is to do his will. But he shall righteously shut out into the darkness which they have chosen for themselves those who do not believe, and who do consequently avoid his light. The Father, therefore, has revealed himself to all, by making his word visible to all. And conversely, the word has declared to all the Father and the Son, since he has become visible to all. And therefore, the righteous judgment of God shall fall upon all, who, like others, have seen, but have not, like others, believed. For by means of the creation itself, the Word reveals God the Creator, and by means of the world does he declare the Lord the Maker of the world, and by means of the formation of man, the Artificer who formed him, and by the Son, that Father who begat the Son. And these things do indeed address all men in the same manner, but all do not in the same way believe them. But by the law and the prophets did the word preach both himself and the Father alike, and all the people heard him alike, but did not alike believe. And through the word himself, who had been made visible and palpable, was the Father shown forth, although all did not equally believe in him. But all saw the Father in the Son, for the Father is the invisible of the Son, but the Son the visible of the Father. And for this reason all spoke with Christ when he was present upon earth, and they named him God. Yes, even the demons exclaimed upon beholding the Son, "We know you, who you are, the Holy One of God." And the devil, looking at him and tempting him, said, "If you are the Son of God." All thus indeed seeing and speaking of the Son and the Father, but not all believing in them. For it was fitting that the truth should receive testimony from all, and should become judgment for the salvation indeed of those who believe, but for the condemnation of those who believe not, that all should be fairly judged, and that the faith in the Father and the Son should be approved by all, that is, that it should be established by all, receiving testimony from all, both from those belonging to it, since they are its friends, and by those having no connection with it, though they are its enemies. for that evidence is true and cannot be gainsaid, which elicits even from its adversaries striking testimonies in its behalf. They, being convinced with respect to the matter at hand by their own plain contemplation of it, and bearing testimony to it, as well as declaring it. But after a while they break forth into enmity, and become accusers, and are desirous that their own testimony should not be regarded as true. He, therefore, who was known, was not a different being from him who declared, "No man knows the Father," but one and the same, the Father making all things subject to him. While he received testimony from all that he was true man and that he was true God, from the Father, from the Spirit, from angels, from creation itself, from men, from apostate spirits and demons, from the enemy, and last of all, from death itself. But the Son, administering all things for the Father, works from the beginning even to the end, and without him no man can attain knowledge of God. For the Son is the knowledge of the Father, but the knowledge of the Son is in the Father, and has been revealed through the Son. And this was the reason why the Lord declared, "No man knows the Son but the Father, nor the Father but the Son, and those to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him." For "shall reveal" was said not with reference to the future alone, as if then only the Word had begun to manifest the Father when he was born of Mary, but it applies indifferently throughout all of time. For the Son, being present with his own handiwork from the beginning, reveals the Father to all, to whom he wills, and when he wills, and as the Father wills. Wherefore then, in all things, and through all things, there is one God, the Father, and one Word, and one Son, and one Spirit, and one salvation to all who believe in him. Chapter 7. Recapitulation of the foregoing argument, showing that Abraham, through the revelation of the Word, knew the Father and the coming of the Son of God. For this cause he rejoiced to see the day of Christ, when the promises made to him should be fulfilled. The fruit of this rejoicing has flowed to posterity, that is, to those who are partakers in the faith of Abraham, but not to the Jews who reject the word of God. Therefore Abraham also, knowing the Father through the Word, who made heaven and earth, confessed him to be God, and having learned by an announcement that the Son of God would be a man among men, by whose coming his seed should be like the stars of heaven, he desired to see that day, so that he might himself also embrace Christ, and seeing it through the spirit of prophecy, he rejoiced. Wherefore Simeon also, one of his descendants, carried fully out the rejoicing of the patriarch, and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And the angels, in like manner, announced tidings of great joy to the shepherds who were keeping watch by night. Moreover, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my salvation." The rejoicing of Abraham descending upon those who sprang from him, those namely who were watching, and who beheld Christ, and who believed in him. While, on the other hand, there was a reciprocal rejoicing which passed backward from the children to Abraham, who did also desire to see the day of Christ's coming. Rightly, then, did our Lord bear witness to him, saying, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." For not on Abraham's account alone did he say these things, but also that he might point out how all who have known God from the beginning and have foretold the advent of Christ have received the revelation from the Son himself, who also in the last times was made visible and able to suffer, and spoke with the human race, that he might from the stones raise up children unto Abraham, and fulfill the promise which God had given him, and that he might make Abraham's seed as the stars of heaven. As John the Baptist says, For God is able from these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now, this Jesus did by drawing us off from the religion of stones, and bringing us over from hard and fruitless cogitations, and establishing in us a faith like to Abraham. As Paul does also testify, saying that we are children of Abraham because of the similarity of our faith and the promise of inheritance. He is therefore one and the same God who called Abraham and gave him the promise. But he is the Creator, who does also through Christ prepare lights in the world, those who believe from among the Gentiles. And he says, You are the light of the world, that is, like the stars of heaven. Him, therefore, I have rightly shown to be known by no man unless by the Son, and to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him. But the Son reveals the Father to all to whom he wills that he should be known, and neither without the good will of the Father, nor without the agency of the Son, can any man know God. Wherefore did the Lord say to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you have both known him and have seen him. From these words it is evident that he is known by the Son, that is, by the Word. Therefore the Jews have departed from God in not receiving his Word, but imagining that they could know the Father by himself, without the Word, that is, without the Son, they being ignorant of that God who spoke in human form to Abraham, and again to Moses, saying, I have surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have come down to deliver them. For the Son, who is the Word of God, arranged these things beforehand, from the beginning, the Father being in no want of angels, in order that he might call the creation into being, and form man, for whom also creation was made. Nor again, standing in any need of any instrumentality for the framing of created things, or for the ordering of those things which had reference to man. While at the same time he has a vast and unspeakable number of servants. For his offspring and his likeness do minister to him in every respect, that is, the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Word and Wisdom, whom all the angels serve and to whom they are subject. Vain, therefore, are those who, because of that declaration, No man knows the Father but the Son, introduce another unknown Father. End of chapter 7.